Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is the generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy. One of the great discoveries of me in 2020 was my next guest, Len Kordakovsky. Len was sort of the, I'll call him the online brain of the State Department under Secretary Pompeo and Keith Kroc, the undersecretary. And he's become a good friend. And I saw him in the run-up to Christmas at one of the Beltway parties. And Leonard told me a story that I cannot believe. Len Kordakovsky, welcome back. You can follow him at Message from Len on Twitter, and you should. I have two objectives, Len. I need you to tell me about my dad and my brother's alma mater, Oberlin. I need you to tell me about your new podcast out of the Middle East.
Well, good morning, Hugh, and thanks for having me back. It was so great to see you the other day. And thanks for the name check with President Trump a couple of weeks ago.
Yep, that was fun.
That was great. I got a lot of positive feedback about that. It was a trip. Well, number one, I think my headline this morning here is American college students in Oberlin College in Ohio are being taught by a former Iranian senior regime official complicit in the 1988 massacre. That's no joke.
Let's repeat that slowly, because Oberlin may be well-known. It's my father's alma mater, very proud of it. It was the first college to admit blacks and women in the United States. Charles Finney was its great progressive evangelical, I guess, leader in the 19th century. It is a storied institution. My brother went there, played football there. My father went there, but it has gone off the cliff. And when you told me this, I said, thank God Dad is in heaven, or he would actually have a heart attack.
Yeah, many people are perturbed by this. But yes, a former senior official named Mohammad Jafar Mahalani, who was the Iranian regime's UN ambassador in the 80s, and complicit in a massacre of about 5,000 Iranian dissidents in the late 80s. And this is not just me saying it. It's Amnesty International saying it, hardly a right-wing operation. He has been granted tenure at Oberlin College in Ohio, where American students pay upward of $80,000 a year in tuition. Really, I should say their parents pay that. And they're being taught by a guy who is deemed, quote unquote, the professor of peace, who is complicit in a massacre of the, in 1980s.
Now, Len, when I was in the government, when you were a child in the Soviet Union, we would find war criminals and deport them. There was a special department, the Department of Justice, to find war criminals from World War II and deport them for justice. How is this man teaching, much less not being sued by every victim of a victim? Because that is possible under the Alien Tort Claims Act in the United States.
Well, many victims and families of victims have brought this up to Oberlin administration. One of these members of a family of victims, her name is Laudan Bazargan, reached out to me and alerted me to this incredibly insane situation and said that she brought this up to the attention of the administration, the president of Oberlin College, named Carmen, I forgot her last name, excuse me. But the president of Oberlin College has basically covered up the complicity of this guy. Carmen Ambar is her name.
I invited President Ambar to be on this show, by the way, and she declined.
Well, I'm not surprised, because when Laudan and I wrote an op-ed about this case, pointing it out, and I tagged Carmen Ambar on Twitter, she promptly blocked me, Laudan, and everybody else who has brought this up to her attention.
So Oberlin has a war criminal on its faculty. What exactly were the circumstances of the massacre in which he is complicit?
This is actually very timely and interesting as well. In 1988, this is shortly after the Iranian regime takeover in Iran, the Islamic Revolution in Iran, which happened in 79. And of course, folks remember that The Iranian regime was born in the original sin of taking Americans hostage.
Yeah.
And this is the same regime that rounded up and executed political dissidents to solidify its power. One of these massacres occurred in the late 80s via something called the Death Commission, actual name, which was co-chaired by none other than Ibrahim Raisi, the current president of the Iranian regime. So this Death Commission sentenced more than 5,000 Iranians to death. It has disappeared, tortured, and committed atrocities on an epic scale. Mohammad Jafar Mahaladi was part of that regime and actively covered up and minimized and spoke on behalf of the actions of that government.
Was he a member of the commission or was he a FLAC?
He was a FLAC. He was not a member of the commission. There were only four chairs. Ibrahim Raisi was one of them. But he was essentially, a guy who was in the United States, comfortably ensconced on, in his penthouse in New York, who was defending what was being done. Not to mention, the guy is an anti-Semite, an anti-Baha'i, bigot on an epic scale. Now, that in and of itself should disqualify him from a tenured position at Oberlin, but it hasn't.
Is there a record, Len, has Oberlin been presented with a record of his propaganda on behalf of the Death Commission and his other complicities?
Absolutely. And it's been presented by an Amnesty International report about it, which itself named Mahaladi as one of the people complicit in the massacre. So there's no excuse here. In fact, one of our strongest supporters is the Oberlin College student newspaper, which validated the claims, and the students are with us, but the administration wants to play dumb and not hold this guy accountable.
There's a board of trustees at Oberlin. Has every trustee received a packet of his complicity? You're not saying he pulled the trigger. You're not saying he actually killed anyone. You're saying he helped cover it up and propagandize its consequences away.
That's right. I believe the packet has been sent, but let me just, put it in perspective. Assume this was happening in the 1930s or 40s or just after World War II, and we had a senior Nazi official who was excusing the Holocaust somewhere in the world. Would he get tenure in Oberlin? This is exactly the same insanity that's driving this, which makes no sense. And let me just point out that this is not an isolated case in Oberlin. Princeton has another senior Iranian official as a tenured professor in its Near East program, who was likewise a senior diplomat, quote unquote, in Germany in the 1990s. Under whose watch an assassination took place of four Iranian dissidents. Four Iranian diplomats were bounced out of Germany in the 1990s. This guy had to leave. And as a reward, he got tenure in Princeton. His name is Sayed Hussein Mousavi. So there's a problem in our places of higher learning, which turns a blind eye to these criminals on an epic scale.
I'm talking with Len Kordakovsky, a veteran of the State Department. Now you can follow him on Twitter at Message from Len. Why do woke faculties, Leonard, in your opinion, put up with killers of the Islamist mullah regime and not with conservatives? I mean, what is wrong? What is wrong with America faculty that they do not raise a hue and cry about Islamist regime-allied killers and propagandists, but they do get concerned about center-right faculty members?
Well, I think you said it there. I think they're threatened by conservatism more than terrorism. That's unfortunate, but the perspective in those bubbles is so skewed that someone who challenges the wokeness of those institutions is a bigger threat than terrorists actually sanctioned by the American State Department across multiple administrations, not just Republican administrations.
Well, I think I think alumni have to stop giving to Oberlin and Princeton. And I think they need to bring resolutions to the Board of Trustees, because you're not going to move the president. She's obviously gone to ground. Len, before we run out of time, we got 2 minutes. I want to know about this new podcast as well.
Well, thanks for that. But one last note on the Oberlin. I would love for Congressman Jordan and Senator Portman and the entire Ohio delegation to hold Oberlin accountable and ask why Ohio parents have to pay, exorbitant tuition for their kids to be taught by an international criminal.
Yeah, Oberlin's private, but it's still useful to throw a spotlight on a private institution.
Absolutely. Let's have them explain themselves. Yeah. So about this other project that I'm working on, and thanks for mentioning it, it's called Yalla. And basically, Yalla is a new show that's in Arabic, and it's aimed at an Arabic audience in the Middle East, essentially to advance the idea of everything that's possible as a result of the Abraham Accords. Abraham Accords has been a game changer in the region. The things that are now possible for the Arab public and the next generation of Arab leaders is historic. And one of the things that we'd like to do is open up and provide a voice for the Arab public to understand what's possible, how much is possible, to tap into their hopes and dreams and help them realize those dreams and be the voice for their incredible stories. The Middle East is turning into the most interesting and dynamic neighborhood in the world.
Leonard, your Twitter handle is Message from Len. You got lots of followers. What is the Yalla Twitter handle?
Yalla is at Watch Yalla. Watch, Y-A-L-L-A.
Y-A-L-L-A. Watch, Y-A-L-L-A. Watch Yalla.
Correct.
And Message from Len. Len, Happy New Year to you. I hope you will be back early and often in 2022. And I hope someone in Oberlin is listening this morning, and that they realize that they're working for a college that is actually depraved. I think that's a measure of depravity to keep people like that in tenured positions. Now, they have freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean consequences ought to be obliterated from the past. I believe in tenure, but I do not believe in hiding war criminals. And I believe that term is justifiably applied. Do you?
Of course. Of course. Americans should be held accountable. So should former Iranian regime officials complicit in massacres.
Well said. Len Kordakovsky, thank you, and Happy New Year, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend to go to Town Hall Review and sign up as well today.
This is Albert Mohler for townhall.com. Well, 2021 is going into the history books. It began with a contested election, then an inauguration, and then months of political turmoil. President Biden ran as a moderate but took a swerve to the left. President Trump was impeached again and left office in the aftermath of an infamous insurrection at the Capitol. Identity politics was on full display as Biden celebrated such milestones as the nation's first transgender assistant secretary of health. But voters pushed back in Virginia, where parents rejected critical race theory and, after being told to go home, actually went to the polls and elected a Republican governor. Hurricanes and tornadoes did their damage, and the COVID pandemic introduced frustrated Americans to the Greek alphabet, Delta, Omicron. There were tragedies like the condo falling in Florida. Perhaps as a coping mechanism, Americans evidently spent a lot of time watching animal videos. The supply chain was disrupted, and the brothers Cuomo were ejected. The birth rate fell, and inflation rose. It was quite a year, and now it's over. On to 2022. I'm Albert Mohler.
The Pepperdine School of Public Policy, America's unique graduate program for leaders. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.